The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Yo, welcome to the Make the Cut podcast. I'm your host, Jacques Leung, joined by
Zion Damji,
Linus Kang,
and Mark Rende.
And you just made the cut.
Welcome back, everybody. We hope you guys enjoyed episode 2, where we talk about the Olympics and some of the potential opponents that Canada might go against. Before we start, though, shout out our Spotify, Make the Cut. Please check them out. And our Instagram at Make the Cut Gram. So It's March. How are you guys feeling about this?
I'm feeling good, man.
March Madness.
I'm ready.
It is so exciting. One of the best times of the year to be a basketball fan. Mm. We have a very special episode for you guys. This is a March Madness special, men's and women's bracket.
Yes, sir.
Quick disclaimer, though. At the point we are recording this, it is right before the tournament has started. We are in the progress of the first four right now.
The first half of the first four.
The selection Sunday was a couple of days ago. But at the time this episode airs, I believe it will be around the Elite Eight. So the quick disclaimer that this is recorded before the tournament.
It is March 20th, 2024 for everybody. So let's get right into it. The big boys. Let's talk about the number one seed so far.
In the men's bracket.
Yeah, in the men's bracket. Jock, do you want to start us off?
Yeah. I think it's best to start off with, like, in my opinion, probably the favorites, or if not, they're definitely one of the favorites to come out as national champions. They are the reigning national champions, UConn, who is the number one seed in the East Division of the bracket. I would say they're probably arguably the best team in college basketball this season.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, despite losing a lot of key pieces from their last year's run, they are just as dominant as years past, and they have, like, a really strong core. Despite losing many of their core pieces from before, they've just built a new strong core. Overall, their play style, they're a very slow tempo team, very team oriented team,
just ready for the college basketball.
Yeah, just perfect for the March Madness game.
The exact archetype that would win.
Yeah, exactly. They really understand how to play at the collegiate level. I would say they're compared to NBA, they're like a Spurs type team.
They got all the fundamentals down.
They're good on both ends of the floor. They're top 15 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. They're capable of scoring from pretty much everywhere on the floor. They got really gritty defense. They can really lock down teams. A lot of high motor guys. And then they're for sure one of the favorites coming into this tournament. But they do have a lot of talent. Do one of you guys want to talk about the talent they have on that team?
Yeah, I mean, the team themselves, they one of the few teams to win over 30 games in the regular season, which is huge. They have two projected first-round picks in the NBA. They have Stephon Castle, who is a guard projected in the lottery, and then their big man, their big center, Donovan Klingon, is projected in the first round as well.
They kind of fit together well, I think.
They work really well together. I mean, when you got a guard that can just make plays and off the dribble, and then you got a big who can just finish around the rim.
That's all you need.
It's perfect for college ball.
And Klingon is like the perfect college archetype of a center too.
Yeah.
That doesn't really have success at the next level anymore. But not even in college still, since the college game hasn't evolved for the past 40 years.
Big still dominant at the collegiate level.
You mentioned, you know, not being able to translate to the next level. Speaking of not being able to translate, and even big men, Zach Edey, who is a Canadian senior, leading Purdue to the number one seed in the Midwest Division.
Yeah, well, the thing with Purdue is, like, they're historically a team that is known for choking in the bright lights.
I mean, I don't even I don't watch that much March Madness,
but I know Purdue, back when they had
Jaden Ivey and Edey as well.
Last year, I mean, they fell to a 16 seed, which was only the second time that ever happened in NCAA history. They're a team just known for, like, getting upset in general. But this is the year. It looks like they're finally able to, like, put everything together. They're finally figuring out how to play together. And I think they're ready. They have some really, really good players. They got Braden Smith, who's finally putting it together. He's one of the better guards in the NCAA. They got Lance Jones, who transferred from Southern Illinois and has been an amazing piece for them. In the starting lineup, he's completely changed the dynamic of it. And he is just, like, a defensive monster. He's got really good defensive instincts. And then, obviously, like previously mentioned, they're led by Zach Edey, mm-hmm. who is a monster at the collegiate level. He's just the perfect big for NCAA mm-hmm. basketball.
Yeah.
But we'll touch on him later. Now let's move on to Houston.
The Houston Cougars.
Yeah, Jacques talks about them as a Spurs and Heat culture type guy. What do you mean by that? Team-oriented?
Type team. Yeah, they're very team-oriented. They built a really, really good culture there in Houston. Shout out to their coach, Kelvin Sampson. They just had...
Consistently, they're one of the top
teams. Yeah, they've created a really strong basketball program. And despite not getting, like, the big prospects, they still managed to put together a really good team every single year. It's just like the Heat. Like, even though they don't necessarily get, like, all the star players, but they get, like, the players who are willing to play that those small roles and willing to, you know, win by any means necessary.
That's what you need.
They got
testament to their culture.
Yeah, they got a really good next man up mentality, and they play the game the right way. The problem with them is that they're very top heavy. They're very reliant on their starting five, and it's mainly due to injuries. They're missing two of their players that really helped contribute to their team, and they're led by their two best players are small guards, which is a problem in March Madness in NCAA basketball. Mm-hmm. But, like, in years past, they've managed to put it together to make some nice runs.
Still no, I don't believe any actual finals appearances.
Yeah, I really don't think they'll even make the Final Four. I think they'll go out in the Elite Eight, but they're probably going to exceed expectations. Like,
that's
because
of the bench, no? Like, except for Damian Dunn. Apart from Damian Dunn, not many notable names off the bench.
Their bench is very, very weak.
And just like the Heat, you know? Like, without that guy, that will lead you in
their last. At least the Heat do have that guy in Jimmy
Butler.
Yeah,
they got Jimmy
Butler. Houston doesn't
really. They really lack a guy.
That guy. Onto another one seed in the West Division. The West Division's number one seed is University of North Carolina.
The Tar Heels.
So they are one of the older teams in college basketball right now. They even though they're one of the one seeds, they do have a lot to prove. They had a disappointing campaign last year where they started off as the number one seed but ended up missing the entire tournament.
Mm-hmm, that's sad, man.
Quite disappointing, especially for a program of their caliber. But they do have a very great culture. They are led by one of their forwards, Armando Bacot, who is probably going to go down as one of the best forwards in UNC history, even though he's not really projected to be an NBA player. Mm-hmm. He is currently a finalist for Naismith Player of the Year, and Bacot's really been putting in the work over there.
Yeah, beyond that, his teammate, who was also part of that 2022 national game team, is RJ Davis, who has finally, like, gone into that next level that a lot of UNC fans were hoping for. He's become arguably, in my opinion, I think he's the best guard in NCAA basketball right now. He's a first-team All-American. And he can just score the ball at will. Like we mentioned, Houston doesn't have that guy, but UNC has a guy. He is that guy. He's had multiple 30-plus point games, and he had a 42 bomb against Miami.
Wow.
He's just a plain bucket getter, and he's also the ACC Player of the Year. Overall, I think UNC is just super talented from top to bottom.
I mean, with experience too, I feel they could be the favorites to win.
Is it your favorite, Jacques?
They're my favorites. Thing that's carrying them the most is their chemistry. They finally been able to figure it out, how to play together, how to move the ball at the collegiate level. They're overall, they are a very good team from top to bottom, but they are my personal favorites to win.
Cool. So we talked about the men's side of the bracket. We talked about the 4-1 seeds. We're going to touch on the women's side of things now, because the women's side is arguably the more
star power driven.
The more entertaining division of March Madness this time around. So we're not going to talk about the one seeds. We're going to talk about more of the stars this time. So, and it seems like the star power seems to be on the women's side this year. Women's college basketball in particular ESPN just saw their most viewed college basketball regular season in over 15 years. Attendance has been amazing. If you look at ticket prices to go to like an Iowa game to see Caitlin Clark, ticket prices are just astronomical. The women's side has a lot of like notable basketball names and notable star power. First off, we have to start with Caitlin Clark, of course. She's the biggest college basketball megastar in a long time. I mean, I think she might be the biggest college basketball star period since like Zion Williamson in 2019. Like, I think Zion's the only one who can rival her as of in a recent memory. I mean, she's averaging 32 points per game in college. Ooh, like, how do you average 32 in college?
And almost like a almost a triple double.
Yeah. She also averaged, she's also first in the country in assists with 9. Yeah, she's also averaging 7 boards as the point guard. Like, how are you doing that? So she's the all-time, this season she's just been insane, broke the NCAA all-time scoring record, passing Pete Maravich, a generational talent in all sense of the word and in the term. And in terms of just women's sports in general, not even just basketball, she's like a paradigm shifter. Like, she is shifting people's expectations. She is breaking people's assumptions. And she's on the one seed at Iowa, and they're poised to make another run to the final, where they lost to LSU last year. And if they renew that LSU rivalry, they only face them in the Elite Eight, though. They're not going to face them super late. Speaking of better players, we're going to go to the number 2 seed, Stanford. And their 6'4 power forward, Cameron Brink, who ESPN projects to be the number 2 overall pick in the WNBA draft, with Caitlin Clark obviously being the number 1. She recently declared in the past few weeks, so that was making some headlines. She leads the country in blocks at almost 4 a game.
That's Wemby numbers.
She's insane, averaging 18 points, 12 rebounds for Stanford, leading them to the second seed. For the general basketball fan, you've probably seen her before. If you don't know what she looks like, you might have seen her before in a New Balance commercial that you see a lot on TV. It's that one New Balance commercial where they have a bunch of the NBA guys like Kawhi and Tyrese Maxey and Darius Bazley and Zach LaVine, that one. There's like a woman hooper in there as well, and some people weren't like really sure who that was. Well, that is Cameron Brink. So she's in a New Balance commercial. She's probably making a lot of NIL money. And then one of the other most recognizable star faces in women's basketball in college is the UConn point guard, Paige Beckers. Now in her junior year, she missed all of last season to an unfortunate ACL tear, but now she is back just as good as ever, averaging 21 points per game, scoring machine, shooting 54% from the field, which is pretty crazy for a point guard, averaging 21.
Bucket getter.
She's not declaring for the draft this year. She can still stick around for senior year, you know, make some more NIL money by staying around in college. But she is, alongside her other star forward, Aaliyah Edwards, the Canadian, who we will touch on later. She has led UConn to another Big East title, 30-5 record. And Paige Beckers is popping off with future WNBA star written all over her.
Yeah, other mentions that we can get is Tennessee's Rekia Jackson.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Averaging 19 points and 8 rebounds per game.
Another projected top pick.
Yeah, and Dawn Staley's number 1 South Carolina, and their star center, Camila Cardoso, paint patrol, one of the best rim protectors in the country.
She really holds down the paint.
Her and Cameron Brink are like probably the 2 best rim protectors in the country.
Yeah, stars like these, I mean, that's why we get excited for March Madness. Another reason why we get excited for March Madness and makes March Madness what March Madness is the potential upsets. Who are some of the potential upsets that we're looking at for this season?
So I'm looking at Mississippi State, known as Stark Vegas, but they've definitely shown their promise, especially after their tournament performance against Tennessee and wins over teams like Auburn, Washington State, and Northwestern. They're 8-1 this year. Josh Gibbard has definitely been stepping up, and I believe that they have the potential to surprise in the tournament.
For real. Shout out Josh Gibbard.
Yes, sir. Washington State as well, they had a huge turnaround. Second in the Pac-12, and they're getting their first NCAA spot since 2008. Wow. So you know that program is going to be hungry. And I really like their defense. My 2 favorite players in the Pac-12, Isaac Jones and Miles Rice. Shout out Miles. Come back from battling Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's not something easy to fight.
Quite the story.
The Grand Canyon U, they're 29-4. They're seen as a popular upset pick, more for their first round matchup because of their matchup again against St. Marie. They can definitely make some noise. And lastly, Kentucky. I think this is a very popular upset pick as well because they can score, they can shoot the 3-ball well, but they're very, very inconsistent, and that's due to their lack of experience. But on paper, they have lots of young talent like Antonio Reeves, Reed Shepard, and Rob Dillingham coming in as freshmen. And if the dominoes fall correctly, they might be able to make a deep push.
For sure. A lot of great freshmen on that Kentucky team. So earlier we talked about Zach Edey and Aaliyah Edwards earlier as some star players on some favorite teams. We're going to spotlight them a bit more in this segment about the Canadians in March Madness. Because Aaliyah Edwards is from Kingston, Ontario. Zach Edey is from Toronto, Ontario.
York Mills.
Two very highly touted prospects. So if you start with UConn's Aaliyah Edwards. She has been averaging 18 points and 9 rebounds, shooting 59% in her senior year for the UConn Huskies. She was just named second team All-American, and Canadian fans have been watching her for a while. I remember years ago, I think it was maybe 2019, that I remember watching her at the BioSteel All-Canadian game. Obviously, she's very recognizable because of those yellow braids she has, right? Canadian fans have had our eye on her for a while, and she's polished her skills now to develop more of a jumper and an outside shot, in addition to her imposing paint presence. She's also already represented the senior women's national team at the Tokyo Olympics and at the World Cup. Damn. And she is projected to be drafted pretty high in the WNBA draft this year, looking to become just the fifth Canadian, I believe, to be in the WNBA currently. And her and Paige Beckers have led the UConn Huskies once again to another Big East Conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And also a connection close to home.
Woo!
She recently, this school year, she visited TMU, our
Yay.
School, for when the UConn Huskies came for an exhibition game against the TMU Bold women's basketball last December.
Let's not talk about that score. That was still a pretty big occasion
that we hosted at our university.
Yeah,
that was really fun. Aaliyah Edwards' homecoming game, that was pretty fun. Keeping it in Toronto now, of course, the 7'4" former National Player of the Year, looking to go back-to-back this year, currently one of the favorites, Zach Edey leads all men Division I in scoring at 24.4 points per game, also averaging 12 boards, 62% from the field as a senior. We mentioned Purdue storylines earlier as a one seed and as a team who can fall a bit short in the playoffs, but in the regular season, they have enjoyed nothing short of success during Zach Edey's tenure. He is the back-to-back Big Ten Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, and they recently just retired his jersey on senior night and hit the marching band at Purdue. I don't know if you guys saw a clip of it, but the marching band surprised him
playing
O Canada. Mm-hmm. So he is now the Purdue all-time leading scorer. So he's represented, for his national team duties, he represented Team Canada at the World Cup, the FIBA World Cup last year when they won bronze as well. So that's great.
I feel like Zach Edey, the one thing I will say is if he was born 20, 30 years later or ago, I think he would have been like
He'd be an elite prospect.
He would be a number one pick prospect, like 30 years ago.
His lack of range.
With like Bill Walton type of build.
Yeah, and he's too slow defensively, not for the fast guards.
Yeah.
Like unfortunately, he's playing in the wrong era.
Like
as a traditional 7'4" big.
Like we talked about, for college, it's like a perfect fit, a big that knows how to do have post moves and all that. But in the NBA, we'll have to see. I hope everything goes well.
At the next level, he's just gonna get exposed in the pick and roll when guards call for a pick and they get a switch onto him. They're just gonna blow by him. He's too slow for NBA guards, but. Who knows?
There are players who are like Brook Lopez.
There are
slow
players. As long as he is capable of becoming a player that can just anchor a defense and score when asked to in the post, I think he'll be a solid pro. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Yeah. And he is projected to be drafted in the second round of the NBA this year as he finishes tenure at Purdue. And like we said, he is slow, but he's not a tall for nothing guy.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
He has skills.
He has great touch, great footwork, great skills.
You don't win National Player of the Year for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So shout out Zach and Aaliyah. Very proud of your Canadian achievements.
And a special shout out, my Korean brother, even though he's only partially Korean, but Xavier Lee, also from Toronto. He's been getting a lot of attraction, even from Korea themselves, a lot of media attraction. He had a new documentary. Unfortunately, he won't be playing in the tournament. Princeton did win Ivy League regular season with 24-4 record, but were upset by Brown in the semifinals, eliminating from contention in the NCAA March Madness.
Ivy League tournament didn't go so well for them. They were favored to win that, and if they won, they would have booked their ticket to the dance, but they did not. But either way, Xavier Lee, the Toronto product, has been having a really standout sophomore campaign for the Princeton Tigers down in the Ivy League. His freshman year, he didn't contribute a whole lot, but he's had a really huge sophomore meteoric rise. At 6'3", he averages 17 points, 6 boards, 4 assists. In his huge sophomore leap, he's been putting people on notice on social media. And I'd say his NBA player comp is Tyrese Maxey.
Quick, very quick.
Like quick, first step, tight handle, deep range. Play the same position. He needs to bulk up though. He's only like 6'3", 173 right now. But I've seen him just outside of NBA draft boards. He was never going to declare for the draft this year.
Yeah,
but he still has two more years of eligibility. And judging by how quickly he improved from freshman to sophomore year, I think that should indicate really great potential for him. And it's been really fun to watch Xavier Lee go off in the Ivy League this year.
He's a very fun player to watch.
And so today, to finish this episode, we have a fun segment that has been inspired by some content I've been watching recently about day in the life of a D1 basketball hooper and seeing what it's like behind the scenes of their lives, seeing the super cool university facilities that they get to. Let's have a chat here. If we were to become D1 college basketball players, no specific like prospects of
like no
knowing,
guarantee.
Knowing if we're going pro or not, okay. just saying, okay, what school do we want to go to? If we were college guys and we had a D1 school to commit to, what school do we think would be like the coolest D1 basketball school to commit to?
If you know me personally, I love the city of New York, but New York got like not that
mid.
Good of a not good basketball program. Maybe Syracuse with Carmelo.
Well, I mean, that's upstate New York.
So I'm gonna stay closer to the New York side, also with the basketball side as well. UConn, only 2-hour drive. To Manhattan.
Okay.
You have a good basketball program. They're elite, like we said. They are one of the favorites this year. I'm gonna go with UConn.
That's a solid pick. But it's like fun over at UConn. Yeah. You can go be friends with Aaliyah Edwards. Actually, she'll be graduating. Never mind.
That's true, but I'll be the new star.
Bruh. All right. Cyan, what about you?
See, I don't know how secure my basketball career will be there, but I know education-wise, Harvard.
Ivy League.
Even if I do get injured, you know, I'll be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. I'll be stable with my education, I have a backup plan.
You only get injured if you get playing minutes.
I'll get playing minutes coming into a D1 school.
It's tough,
I'll be Jeremy Lin.
It's pretty hard. Jacques, what about you?
I think me personally, I have two routes I could take this. I could go to a university where like they're just known for their like just university culture. But I feel like for me, I'd probably just want to try to get to the league as much as possible. And if that's the case, I'd probably want to go to a place like Duke or Kentucky.
That's
a good pick.
Or like, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, that have really good basketball programs.
Cliche picks.
To be fair, I've like Duke and Kentucky have been like teams that I've been like watching for a while now. So I would love to be a part of their basketball programs, especially Kentucky. I think I would really like to play under Calipari.
Is he gonna be Drake in that room?
Nah, I'm not gonna be Drake. I'm gonna be one of the players. I'm gonna be Devin Booker.
Okay.
The weather down there is like you wanna play in like deep south where the weather is terrible. Me, I wanna play where the weather is like. It's still going to be hot, but it's not deep south.
Bro, I'm from Toronto, bro. I don't care about weather.
I mean, UConn weather is... I'm fine with winter and fall, but I think I would go to somewhere in California. It's not like I'm, like, super in love with California as a state, but from all these, like, day-in-the-life and behind-the-scenes vlogs I've seen on YouTube of, like, Stanford students, USC students, UC Berkeley students, I think I would go to University of Southern California. I would go to USC.
Yeah. Makes sense.
DeMar DeRozan's alma mater. Seems like fun down there at USC.
Mm-hmm. Hanging with Bronny James.
Oh, yeah, Bronny.
Get to know my glorious King.
Actually, Isaiah Collier is going to be my friend, actually.
Bro, he don't know you, little bro.
Bronny doesn't know you either. But no, I mean, either way, with all of these D1 schools, they have, like, super cool facilities, super cool arenas, expensive technology, team physicians, team psychiatrists, bottomless food courts, which when I was watching the vlogs, I was like, yeah, those bottomless food courts look good. No, they just got like so much free food, those guys. And I'm like,
they do.
Dang, I want some of that.
No one mentioned Toronto, TMU, bro.
TMU. I mean, we have some cool,
we love this university.
Food, but like, I'm trying to win NCAA title, not U Sports.
Anyway, thanks for all the shout-outs. Thank you guys for listening. Just to let you guys know, this is our last episode on Spirit Live. Rest of our season 3 will be continued on Spotify.
Yes, Spotify exclusive.
So check us out at Spotify, Make the Cut, and to follow our Instagram at Make the Cut Gram. But other than that, take care, everybody. We'll see you on Spotify.
And enjoy March Madness.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.